The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to the latest edition of First Take. What's going on, everybody? There's a lot of stuff coming up. Hey, we got some NFL topics. We got all of that stuff coming up.
I can't see you.
Huh?
I can't see you.
Hey,
I need to
Steven,
see you.
Let the people see the beautiful look. Oh. I love it. Hey, Steven, you know, there was never a doubt, buddy. I knew you were honorable. You're a man of character. You're a man of integrity. And now you're rocking it. And it looks beautiful. B-E-A-utiful. It's perfect, man.
This is a
man.
Very embarrassing day.
See, I know the fashion game. You
Florida
care so much
Gators
about it, too.
Tie. I have to wear this because I lost a bet to that man. I'm sick to my... Go! First Take's up next. Let's go.
When Stephen A. loses, we all win. I wore orange for you. Love you, Stephen A. Plenty more to get to, including breaking down all things Bucks and Rams. Stafford versus Brady. Let's go. Plus, we hear from Brady. Was he cool with his father and trainer spilling all the tea on Belichick? And we hit on another NFC showdown, Rodgers versus the Niners. And ESPN's NBA rank is out. KD came out number one. Kendrick Perkins says that is wrong. All right, guys, let's talk some football. Stephen A., Tim Tebow, let's go. The 2-0 Tampa Bay Buccaneers visit the 2-0 Los Angeles Rams for an early season showdown between the team that won the Super Bowl in its home stadium last season and a team that hopes to do the same this year in SoFi. Much of that success is due to their veteran quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford, who have thrown for 1,254 combined yards, 14 TDs, and two of the NFL's top passer ratings. Now, the Rams beat the Bucs last November in Tampa. Then the Bucs took another home loss 6 days later against Kansas City, and they haven't lost a game since. Here's Matthew Stafford on the challenge ahead.
Going against a great defense, you know, it's played about as good as any defense in the league. You know, last year and a half, playing really good ball. You know, it's two teams that are playing good football right now going against each other, and I'm excited about it. It's a big challenge for us. You know, I got a ton of respect. You know, for what he's done in the past and shoot what he's doing right now. I mean, he's playing great football, about as good as I've ever seen him play.
All right, Matthew Stafford has a better QBR and higher completion percentage. Brady is pacing the entire NFL with 9 touchdown passes through his first 2 games. Tim Tebow, any chance for a Bucs letdown?
0 chance. Now, could they lose to the Rams? Of course, because Aaron Donald, Matt Stafford, the entire team. But a letdown? No. I mean, we're talking about Tom Brady, Bruce Arians, this veteran team, everybody coming back. There's 0 chance of a letdown, right? You're playing a really good team, so you got to execute. But listen, Tom Brady's not looking ahead to the Patriots. Tom Brady is focused on every single game. He's the best to have ever done it at taking it one game at a time. And he's going to be focused. Their team's going to be focused. And I think there's 0 chance of a letdown.
Well, first of all, I want to just get this out of the way first while I got Tim, the wonderful Tim Tebow here. I got to bow down to the Florida Gators. I was stunned. I was laughing when they were down 21-3. I said, all I need is one more score. I told them they were going to lose by 3 touchdowns. I did not see it coming. They outplayed Alabama for the final 3 quarters. Gator Nation showed up those last 3 quarters. I got to give props where it's due. I can't just slide by and be a punk about it and act like I'm going to wiggle my way out of this. I thought the romp was coming to the swamp. And damn it, they almost beat Alabama. I was nervous as hell. I ain't going to lie. I was nervous. I was like, what is happening here? So, bow down to the Florida Gators. I know they lost, but major, major props for me. I got to give it to them.
And okay. Now Friday's tie day.
So now I want to get, and Friday is this ridiculous tie that I'm wearing, but it's neither here nor there. I lost the bet. I got a man
it's
up.
It's beautiful.
Oh, there you go.
There's no doubt.
He doesn't even wear the Gator
tie. Coach Mullen shot me a text yesterday. Hey, by the way, Coach Mullen shot me a text yesterday, and he said, you can tell Stephen A. he doesn't have to wear a Gator tie, right? The standard at Gator Nation is to win, and so they don't need to lower the standard. And so I was like, yeah, I might text him, but you know what? I really just want to see the tie. So it's
okay. Right.
I think you look great in it.
You never sent me that text and never forwarded that text to me. You see how he is? Oh, my Lord. Okay. Let me move. Ooh.
Do you see how I coordinated with you?
There is no coordination.
Yes, it is. The orange.
No.
The orange and the tie and the orange dress.
It's not coordination.
For the Florida Gators.
No, it's not coordination, okay?
I tried to be a good teammate.
Now let me get to the Tampa Bay
Buccaneers. While you're in a low place.
There is a chance for a letdown. There is a chance for a letdown. I respectfully disagree with Tim Tebow. But not from Tom Brady. I think it's a chance for a letdown from the rest of the team. I think the rest of the team, although they're veterans, no question about it, especially with the absence of Antonio Brown, could you be looking ahead to next week in the New England Patriots and Tom Brady returning to Foxborough? It's entirely possible, not just because of them. The media is going in there. They're talking to these guys. They're constantly asking the questions about a week from now, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody recognizes that the Rams are a formidable team and they're a Super Bowl contender. But it's still just another game on Tom Brady's schedule. Next week is not just another game. And because it's not just another game, and those guys are going to repeatedly be reminded, remember, Gronkowski returns to New England as well. Let's not forget that, but he's not the one that has to throw the football, and he's not the one that essentially had a falling out in a roundabout way with Coach Bill Belichick. So I do believe, Tim Tebow, there is a chance for a letdown, not by Tom Brady, but by the other dude. I do.
But Stephen A., it's not just another game. They're looking at a Rams team that genuinely has a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. You look at it from top to bottom. They have an incredibly deep roster. They have playmakers. They have stars. And now they have a quarterback that is one of the most talented in the game. Listen, I don't think Brady would let his team look past him. I don't think Bruce Arians would. And when you look at the veterans on this team, they know that, yes, obviously they have the Patriots in front of them, but they're focused on now. And this is a bigger, harder threat than the Patriots will be next week. So I don't see any chance. Could they lose? Of course, if they get out-executed. I don't think they're looking past this team. They're too good. You have too much respect for Aaron Donald, Matt Stafford, the entire coaching staff, the way that they play. They're too good to look past.
Listen, you might be right. I'm just not sold on it for the rest of the team. And by the way, when we look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now, this is a team that ranks 30th against the pass. So Matthew Stafford is anticipating having a very big day, and Tom Brady had better do the same in order to elevate their chances to beat the Los Angeles Rams. So we got to pay attention to that.
And let me take that a step further. They're also going to be without their lead running back. Don't forget they don't have Daryl Henderson either, so they're certainly going to be airing it out. And on the other side, we know Antonio Brown can't go.
Yeah.
All right, so let's pick it. Tim, who are you going with?
I'm going with the Bucs. I think that they're playing extremely hot right now. Tom Brady is on fire. I think their defense can get to the quarterback. I do think that they'll give up some deep play actions because the Rams are so good at it. But I think their defensive line sets the tone of this game just to get to Matt Stafford just enough to disrupt him. I think Bucs win in a close one.
I think so as well. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. It's going to be tight, but I agree with Tebow. I think the Buccaneers win this football game. I think that right now, if you look at them, although they're suspect against the pass and it's problematic, I think the way they're flowing offensively is going to be enough to overcome whatever defensive prowess the Rams will bring in their direction. I'm going to pick the Bucs to win this
game. So both of you going with the Bucs. Tim, Stephen A., I'm just curious, have either of you ever dealt with attention from the media or criticism, anything like that?
Yeah, we deal with it all the time. Now, Tim is much nicer about dealing with it than me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So you guys have had people talk about you before, right? You've dealt with that?
Yeah, we do.
All right. So you're perfect for this. Yeah. If you were ever curious of what really led the most famous and decorated Patriot of all time to take his talents elsewhere, hearing from his inner circle may enlighten you. Tom Brady Sr. spilling all the tea.
Do you find a measure of vindication for your kid?
Damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year he threw 56 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year.
Do you think that Tom feels the same way?
Damn right.
I think I need that on a loop to get me ready for the show. All right, another man who knows Tom Brady very well, his dear friend Alex Guerrero. Keep in mind, this is the godfather of his son, his spiritual coach, business partner, trainer, nutrition coach. Guerrero had this to say about Tom's relationship with Belichick. The interesting thing, I think, there, and this is just me, an outsider looking in, it was like Bill never really, I think his emotions or feelings never evolved with age. I think in time with Tom, as Tom got into his late 30s or early 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that 20-year-old kid he had drafted. And all the players, I think, realized Tom was different. He's older, so he should be treated differently. And all the players, none of them would have cared that he was treated differently. I think that was such a Bill thing. He never evolved, so you can't treat someone who's in his 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work. Those words, all courtesy of the Boston Herald. Here's what Tom had to say about all this.
Yeah, I have, you know, great respect and admiration for my time there. I've had great 20 great years there. I kind of spoke that the last 18 months. You know, it's a great time in my life. But, you know, really happy to be here. And I think we've done some great things in a short period of time. Really love the teammates that I have that I'm playing with here. Love the coaches. The organization's been amazing. Again, it's just a lot of gratitude for me.
Okay. Tim, first I want to start with this. Your reaction to what Tom Brady Sr. and Alex Guerrero had to say, and then we'll get into Tom's response.
Well, I think they're very passionate, and I think it's very personal to them. You know, whether it's true or it's not, it's very emotional, and they care deeply about it. Whatever has happened, whatever's transpired with the relationships that Tom had in New England, and, you know, whether that's just with Belichick, whether it's with more people, obviously they care. And so when you see family members and loved ones, you know, be able to, you know, I guess have someone's back. You know, that doesn't bother me. I like hearing that. I like hearing how real and authentic it is. But then I also think when you look at what Tom Brady said, he just takes the high road like he always has. And I think that's a great move for him, because what is it, even if it is true, what does it matter if Tom goes out and he says derogatory things? I think Tom has always taken the high road, is super respectable, it's super honorable. And, you know, he said great things about New England. He's also really focused in the present now at Tampa Bay and what they've accomplished. And I think it's also, you know, a little bit of, if it is true, he's killing him with kindness. And I think that's a great thing.
I don't disagree with you, but I also don't think Tom Brady, if he were to come out and to say, listen, we had our time together at the end, though, you know, I thought I had more left than he thought I had, and we disagree on that. I don't think that's being disrespectful to Bill Belichick. I think that's showing a level of faith in yourself and saying, excuse me, you know what, I wasn't finished. I didn't deserve, without having to go into those details, it's essentially saying, I didn't deserve you bringing Jimmy Garoppolo in 4 or 5 years ago and thinking that I was on my way out the door. I still had a lot left. I told you I had a lot left, and I deserved the right to leave on my own terms. Now, in fairness to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, let's harken back, Tim, to what I reported when it first happened. When Tom Brady decided to depart from New England and end up going to Tampa Bay, I was told that if Tom Brady wanted to stay, they would have worked it out. The problem was is that in order for him to want to stay, he needed to hear from Bill Belichick that Bill Belichick wanted him to stay. And that's not what Bill Belichick was going to do. And that's why Tom Brady ended up departing. If you win 6 Super Bowl championships and go to 9 Super Bowls in 18 years, and you believe you still have a lot left, and that really what the issue is that you're bereft of talent surrounding you. And this coach is saying, well, it's actually you. You're the one that needs to go so I can do what I want to do here. That hurts, because you feel in your heart of hearts that you deserve better. And that's not just about football, Tim. That's about life. When you know that you have credentials and you've delivered and you've produced, and somebody comes to you and they say they think you're finished long before you know that you are, that stings. And I think that it's important to recognize the fact that that transcends sports. That's anywhere in life when you're a high-end producer and you don't feel you're being appreciated as much as you should be appreciated. And I think that's why something like this really resonates. That's why you saw his father answer it the way that he did. That's why you saw the trainer say what he said. They didn't sit up there and say Bill Belichick was a bad person, Bill Belichick was a bad guy, he wasn't a good coach or anything like that. They said, one said he didn't evolve, and the father said, you're damn right. This is, you know, validation.
So there were factual events of what transpired. And Tim, before you jump in here, Stephen A., you said, you know, I think Tom Brady could come out and say that. He didn't need to say that because his people just did that for him.
I'm just saying, had he, it wouldn't be disrespectful.
Yeah. Go ahead. Tim?
Yeah. Molly, I totally agree with what you just said. And you know, obviously you can assume that, you know, that the Brady's family has been felt disrespected, whether it's true or it's not. That's the way that they feel, and that's something that you could tell his dad is holding on to, and Alex maybe a little bit, and so they were passionate about what they said. But I like what Brady said, because it's, in my opinion, the best thing for his team now. Maybe it could have been personal for him to share something about New England, but how does that help his team? Right now, he keeps the focus on his team, on his players, on in the present, in the now. Listen, he's going to have a lot of times and a lot of years to write books and memoirs and do a last dance of his own one day and have all that come out, and there can be a time and a place for that. But right now, it's about the next one. It's about beating the Rams, beating the Patriots, winning another Super Bowl. And I think this move was the best move for his team now. So he can walk in that locker room and say, you know what? Everybody wants to make it about me and all this other stuff. I'm making it about you guys. I'm making it about this team because I believe in you. And we can do what we did last year again. And guess what? People are going to be talking about this team, not just me. And I think that rallies a team together. Like you saw, even when you hear Bruce Arians, he's like, yeah, one guy changed your culture, Tom Brady. Why? Because he is about that. He's not about just me or what I've accomplished in the past. He's about this team, and he makes everybody better. And I think that is another example of why you look at a guy that's a great player but also a great leader.
Yeah. For me personally, the one thing that I want to say in regards to Bill Belichick, specifically as it pertains to Alex Guerrero's quotes, is this. We got to, you know, some people have to learn that it's all right that everyone isn't the same. When you've earned what Tom Brady has earned, it's all right to treat him differently, especially when he's such a team player and he's such a leader and he's such an assist in you accomplishing what you're ultimately aiming to accomplish. And what you heard from Guerrero was a guy in Bill Belichick that is going to be the way that he is. No matter what, he ain't changing, he ain't modifying, he's not altering in any way. And sometimes, that's not the greatest thing. Just that doesn't make him a bad person at all. It's just that sometimes that level of stubbornness, you got to compromise to some degree, and you got to deduce who's worth the compromise. And too many people don't do that. And that's what gets them into trouble.
And maybe he truly felt his best days were behind him. And, you know, Tim, you talk about writing the book for Tom Brady. I want to see the Bill Belichick book and see how he feels now. And obviously the full story isn't written. We'll see how this season plays out with his new quarterback. But that would be very interesting as well to get Bill's response. But we know he's going to keep everything close to the vest. Let me ask you this, though, Tim. Do you think Brady is the best quarterback so far this season on the field?
I don't think you could look at the way he's played and any other quarterback and say they're better. I think there's been some incredible performances at times by other guys, but I think he's the top of the top. And if you say, hey, who do you trust in the fourth quarter down by six with one drive? I have to still go with Tom Brady, because I think not only is he playing at an elite level, but he plays his best when his best is needed, when the games are getting close, when it's a two-minute drill, when they have to come from behind. We saw it week one against Dallas. He still has that it factor that a lot of other people are just hoping for. But he's not hoping for it. He goes out there and delivers it time and time again. And when the game got close Sunday against the Falcons, he delivered over and over. And also, so did his defense, because this is a team that believes in one another. And so even if the offense might not have had the best performance, their defense shows up and they play an incredible complementary football.
I appreciate what you're saying about Tom Brady, and he is the greatest of all time because his resume says so. And I get all of that. But I'm certainly not going to look at him and say, he's better than Patrick Mahomes. I'm not doing that. I saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble the football. Outside of that, when Patrick Mahomes has the ball with the game on the line, who doubts what he's going to do? Nobody. Because we continuously see him do it time and time and time again. He's just that special. Again, he doesn't have the resume, and he's fresh off a Super Bowl loss to Tom Brady. But right now, even with Tom Brady looking great, having 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, completing 65% of his passes along the way, I will remind you that Patrick Mahomes has one interception and six touchdowns and is completing 76% of his passes. And, oh, by the way, the Kansas City Chiefs are the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's because of him. So I just couldn't dismiss that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Stephen A. Listen, I'm not foolish enough to, you know, try to, you know, come on this show and knock Patrick Mahomes. He's unbelievable. Like, obviously, he's one of the best in the game. He's super talented. I think he's got one of the best arms, and he's an underrated athlete. He's a really good athlete, and he's fantastic moving, you know, in the pocket. And I think he's has a chance to be one of the best of all time. But I think still right now, if you said, hey, one drive, game on the line, I have to pick between the two, I think I'm still going Tommy B.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you do that.
Stern has a lot of experience in those moments.
I'm going with Patrick Mahomes.
All right. Real quick before we go to break. Right. Tim, did you know that Stephen A. has a job interview after the show? I didn't know that.
Oh, really? Is he trying
AD
to get hired
position.
By Florida?
Yeah. I think the AD position. Is that where you go?
I think it would be great.
It looks like an athletic
Definitely look in the part.
Look
it looks
right
great,
now.
Man.
You know,
do you feel like Stephen A, you could say like, hey, it's great to be a Florida Gator today, or?
No, I can't say that. All right. What you know what? For y'all, I will do it. You know what? Gator Nation.
Oh, God.
It's
the
great to be a Florida Gator today. I give
Let's
it to y'all.
Go.
I got to give it to y'all. It's sickening.
Oh, because, my God.
I mean, I don't know what the hell happened to Alabama the last three quarters. I have no idea. But in Alabama, Nick Saban and the y'all have me wearing this tie. Now, Nick Saban don't give a damn. Yeah. He probably sitting there saying, you shouldn't have bet on us like that. Shouldn't have bet on us. It was foolish for you to sit up there and say we were going to win by three touchdowns at least. You know, so he's blaming me.
Listen.
But it is what it is. I believed in Alabama, and it didn't happen.
When you go to your interview in G Vegas, just drop Tim's name. Might help you out.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Let's talk some football. The Green Bay Packers are coming off a win against the Lions. A solid bounce-back performance after a rough week against the Saints. The Pack defeated the Lions 35-17 with Aaron Rodgers proving the doubters wrong. The Niners are next, who they beat in 2020 but lost to in the NFC Championship game in 2019. Right now, our friends at Caesars have both Green Bay and San Francisco with some of the best odds to win the championship this season. The only teams with shorter odds in San Francisco our Tampa and Kansas City Super Bowl champ, Rob Ninkovich, joining the show. Rob, good to see you, sir. I like Hello. The money green suit.
Good to see you, man.
I was feeling good today, so I put it on.
Yeah.
You like Stephen A's outfit, too, right?
I do. He looks great.
Yeah.
I like that tie.
Yeah, just checking. hey, Tim, I'll start with you here. Was Rodgers' demise overhyped?
First of all, I just want to add to the suit that Rob's wearing. I love it because I also think it brings that Gator feel to it even more.
Yes.
So I feel
yes.
like Stephen A's just getting more comfortable. You in the orange, he's
yes.
in the green, you know. I'm rocking the blue. It's just, I mean, Gator Nation is just surrounding him. Rob, thanks for joining. We're very grateful for that.
Yes, when we're getting to
Aaron Rodgers, it is totally overhyped. I mean, it's one game. It's one out of 17. Listen, guys have bad games. Teams have bad games. You look at Brady a few few years ago when they lost to the Chiefs and everybody was like, oh my gosh, this team is done. What'd they do? They came back and they've been fantastic, you know, for several years after then. Brady still goes on to win another Super Bowl in Tampa. So I think this is, listen, the media so many times wants something to talk about, wants something that's going to go viral, wants something with hype, and a lot of times they create that. Listen, it was a bad game, but it's 1 out of 17. He showed the other night he's still unbelievable. He's going to be unbelievable the rest of this year. It was one bad game. They're going to be totally fine.
Tim, I agree with you. Are we really talking demise of Aaron Rodgers?
Okay, maybe it was a poor word.
Aaron Rodgers, demise. Come on now. Now, first of all, I know this is we all look at the quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league, right? So when we're talking about quarterbacks and Aaron Rodgers, we expect greatness every time that he's playing on Sunday. Now, they played the Saints week one, okay? Jameis Winston, what did he throw? 5 touchdowns in that game?
Yeah.
Yes.
What did he do the next week?
Yeah.
So it's more, it's a team sport too now. So right. The Green Bay Packers have some issues on defense that they have to address. Mm-hmm. They have to be better on defense. Mm-hmm. So Aaron Rodgers having the offseason and all the drama that was going on with the offseason, that first game that we all saw, that's why everyone jumped on that whole, oh, this is happening, it's over. It's over for Aaron Rodgers. No. Granted, they just won against the Lions, and I don't think the Lions are going to be in the playoffs, and they're not going to make any noise this year. So it really didn't show me anything, like this team, where they at, because if they would have lost to the Lions, we would all been going crazy. The demise is real. Mm-hmm. So we'll find out. And this week against the 49ers, if they can travel, mm-hmm. if they can win a game on the road, mm-hmm. if Aaron Rodgers looks like he did against mm-hmm. the Lions, mm-hmm. against the 49ers, we'll find out. Mm-hmm. But it's too early to say that the demise is happening to Aaron Rodgers.
First of all, put Tim Tebow up on the screen, y'all, because I want Tim Tebow and Rob Ninkovich all on the screen together, because I'm going to get on both of y'all. Both of y'all, okay? I mean, y'all are ridiculous. First of all, let me get to you first, Rob.
Okay.
Even if Green Bay loses this week, we got questions about the Packers. We ain't going to have questions about Aaron Rodgers. Stop that, okay? That's
true,
number one.
True.
Now let me get to Tim Tebow. Mr. Sensitivity here. What are you talking about the media? What happened? Who talked about the demise of Aaron Rodgers? The reigning league MVP, 37 years of age, fresh off of throwing 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He has one bad game. What did we say? It was a bad game. We've never seen Aaron Rodgers that bad. What was the question about him? He's so disgusted with the Green Bay Packers situation and everything that transpired this offseason. Can they make this work? Because the relationship is up in the air. No one questioned the greatness of Aaron Rodgers at all. Nobody was thinking about questioning the greatness of Aaron Rodgers at all. So what about the media? What did the media do wrong? What did the media do, Tim? What did he do?
They hyped it up like all of a sudden he just fell off a cliff when it's just one game. And by the way, the question we're asking right now is hyping it up. Was Aaron Rodgers' demise overhyped? That's still hyping it up.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes, sir.
When we sat up there and said that Aaron Rodgers, it was the most atrocious game he has ever played in his career. He's never looked that bad. What we were saying was, wow. He's never looked that bad. He doesn't jump up in the air and throw passes. He doesn't throw the ball 3 feet behind a receiver. We don't see that from Aaron Rodgers. So in his first game, after all of this friction with his organization, we saw it. And because we point that out and we noticed it, we were sitting up there and saying, oh, it's over for Aaron. Nobody in the media said that about him. And Aaron Rodgers to stop acting like people said that about him, because they didn't. What they said was, look, things ain't great with you and the Green Bay Packers. You could be everybody ain't as kind and sweet and as lovable as Tim Tebow. Everybody ain't as stoic with Super Bowl rings all over the place like Rob Ninkovich. Some dudes might be so disgusted with a situation. Yeah, I want to play, but I can't stand looking at these people. That is possible, which is all anybody questioned.
Yeah, but the problem is when you take one game and then you say, hey, that one game is going to represent how we're going to view someone. It's the first game of the year. It's one out of 17. Listen, the best players in the world have had bad games. I get it. It was one of A-Rod's worst games. But that happens. Guess what? He bounced back. And I think he's going to continue to bounce back. And also, he'll find a way to get his team right. And I know there's been some turmoil there this offseason. But when you look at it, you can't just say, okay, that's one game, and then even ask the question, is he done? It's like when the people did that years ago about Tom Brady. Oh, they're one game, bad game against the Chiefs, and they're done. It's just not true. It's one bad game, right? That happens. Listen, we're not a Madden rating that every single game you're a 90 or you're an 89 or whatever rating, and that's how you show up every game. No, it's personal. It's relationships. It's game plans. It's, you know, they might have had a bad game plan where, you know, that's on the coaches too. It might have been, you know, there's so many things that go into how a team performs, right? That's also when we praise Tom Brady and the Patriots for the way they did it, is because they were able to perform at such a high level over and over and over again. That is really hard to do. So when you have a team go up and down, guess what? That happens because, you know, the human nature comes into play. We're not always the same. It's not a Madden rating.
Yeah, and I'm not questioning Aaron Rodgers and his ability. Because, listen, after that game, when he's winking at the reporter, right, he winked at him because he knew that he asked him the question he didn't like. Same wink he gave me when he beat me in 2014, okay? He looked at
me.
He looked at me, gave me a big blue-eye wink. I said, oh, man, he knows I have him in mirror coverage. This is in trouble. I'm in trouble because he's Aaron Rodgers. So I'm not questioning Aaron Rodgers. He's still got tons of talent. The only thing that we saw this offseason was the relationship between management. Did that affect the team chemistry between the greatest player you have on the roster,
right,
the chemistry with the guys in the locker room, and the people upstairs?
And by the way, Molly, why should I have to listen to Tim Tebow? He's at a place now. They got Nick signs behind
him.
Yeah,
I was actually waiting to get the single shot.
That's the environment he's in.
Hold on. Can we get a single shot of Tim? Can I see that sign? The last time the Knicks won. Oh, that looks like that's for you, Stephen A. Tebow wasn't born.
Why you should listen to me? You asked me to come on the show.
You know what? He did this on purpose. I think Tim Tebow told him to place that sign right behind him. You understand what I'm saying? And he did it on purpose just to mess with me. Okay. All right. I got this. All right. You got your week, Tim. This is your week. It's the only week you're going to get this whole year. Okay. The only week you're going to get. All right. Let's go.
We'll go to the next topic. Stephen A. wants to move on. After Thursday night's football win over the Texans 24-9, where arguably their best player, Christian McCaffrey, left the game in a second quarter with a hamstring injury, they also lost first-round pick J.C. Horn to a broken right foot. Sam Darnold has his Carolina Panthers off to a 3-0 start, while the New York Jets are staring down a potential 0-3 record. And being in New York, trust me, Jets fans, not happy. Here's Matt Rhule on his quarterback.
I think one thing about Sam, he has some moxie, man. I mean, he stayed in the pocket, had that long run called back, but, you know, finding Terrace on the 3rd and 12. I mean, there were some huge conversions by Sam. And, again, it's him just playing within the system, but also I think he has a courageousness that, you know, he's not crossing the line going over the top. He's protecting the football and still pushing the ball down there.
We're starting to find our identity as an offense. And, you know, I think I just got to, you know, again, whatever play is called, we just got to execute that play. And that's my job, is to get us in the right play and make sure that, you know, we're kind of hitting on all cylinders and that the offense is moving in the right direction.
Okay. Stephen A., I need you to pay attention to this. You're a New Yorker.
Paying attention.
So Darnold has now thrown for 888 pass yards in his first three starts with the Panthers. That's the most in any three games of his NFL career. And it's also the second most yards during a 3-0 start by any quarterback in his first three starts with the team. He trails only Kurt Warner, who did it with the Rams in 1999 en route to winning MVP. Do you think the Jets made a mistake trading Darnold?
I'm not going to say they made a mistake. Because as my boy Jeff, who's a diehard Jets fan, I have no idea why. My condolences to him, and he's contaminated my godchildren because he's a Met and Jets fan. I don't understand it. I really, really don't. You know, it's a tough combo to absorb. Nevertheless, what I would say to you is this, and he said it best to me the other day, you can afford to miss on Sam Darnold by drafting Zach Wilson. You couldn't afford to miss on Zach Wilson by not drafting him in favor of keeping Sam Darnold. So I understand that. What I will say, however, is this. Sam Darnold has looked pretty good. looked a little shaky after Christian McCaffrey went down. But Carolina is a damn good team. Matt Rhule appears to be a damn good coach. Sam Darnold was a catastrophe of Adam Gase's making. Mm-hmm. That was what hurt Sam Darnold. The fact that Adam Gase was his coach and the system that he was playing in wasn't his ability.
And sometimes a stale, stagnant, toxic relationship everyone needs to get out of, right? Mm-hmm. You see people, it don't have to be football, it could be baseball, basketball, relationships. Mm-hmm. We see people that are in bad relationships, and it doesn't matter. You need to just get out of it. And Sam having a trade party is a perfect example of how him leaving was probably a fresh start for him. And understanding that I have a new start with a new coach in a new city. And now I can go out there and show people that I am a good football player. And he's been able to do it. And I didn't think he was a bad football player.
Yeah.
I think the circumstances that he was in with coaching, because at the end of the day, it's the influences that your coach has upon you as a young player that could direct where your career goes. You could go that way, you could be here, you could go there. So when he was here, it didn't work out. And the Jets did not work out. Last night, when I watched him play, he looked confident. Looks like he was able to control that offense, and he's got a coach that believes in him and puts him in the right position to throw the football down the field. And his stats show it, and his record shows it. So with that, I think that he's going to have a new – this is a fresh start for him.
Yeah.
And the Jets, just like what Stephen A. said, they had to go get that kid in the draft. Because if they didn't, and he had another bad season here, Sam Darnold had another bad season, it's a wrap.
Tim, you know what it's like to play for the Jets.
Yeah, I think this was a great move for both sides of them. I think Sam Darnold, it's a fresh start. It's a new culture. It's a new environment. Belief in the people around him, I think that is huge. It really can just give someone confidence. And when a quarterback especially plays with confidence, they're a completely different player. But I also think it was the right move for the Jets, right? Because you have a new head coach in there. You're building a new system. You need fresh air in there as well. And so I think this was a great move for both sides. I'm rooting for Sam Darnold because I think he's got a lot of talent. He's still extremely young. One of the youngest quarterbacks in the NFL with a lot more experience than other people, but also not just good experience from learning from tough situations and adversity, which I think could really help him because at some point this year in Carolina, they're going to hit adversity. Now Sam has a little bit of experience of how to deal with that. I think it could go a long way.
Absolutely. All right. Tim, Rob, thank you so much for being with us. And Tim, I hope we started off your weekend right. I'll just leave it at
that. I'm sure we did. I'm sure
absolutely
we did.
You did.
Good.
Goodbye.
Looks
man.
Fantastic. Stephen A., I knew you were going to come through. Honorable man, my friend, Stephen A.
Oh, please. Change your face, please. You hear the crowd?
You heard my face. Wow. You know, forget y'all. Forget all of y'all. Okay? I love Tim Tebow, but he got me this week, okay? It's tough. I'm dealing with it, all right? I'm wearing a tie. What more do y'all want from me, okay? I'm wearing a tie.
That's commitment, holding up that sign that long. All right, Tim, thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. A very debatable NBA list hot off the presses. ESPN's NBA rank predictions return this week with a list of the league's 100 best players. Brooklyn Nets' Kevin Durant topped the list for the first time in his career. Reigning NBA Finals MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo ranked second, followed by LeBron James at third, Luka Doncic at fourth, and Steph Curry at fifth. Let's bring in Kendrick Perkins. Big Perk, how are we, sir? Good to see you.
Too, Molly.
I'm going to start with you, though, Stephen A.
Yeah.
Do you agree with Kevin Durant at number one for the first time?
Hell yeah. Without question. Kevin Durant, best player in the world. Let's just call it what it is, man. Let's just call it what it is. Don't lean back. Lean up, big fella. Don't be disrespectful. Even though you're a big boy, you're still young, okay? You're still young. Be respectful to your elders, Kendrick Perkins. You be respectful to your elders. Kevin Durant, we're really asking this question. The brother that averaged 28-7 on 53% shooting from the field, 45% shooting from three-point range, that dude who went to the playoffs and basically registered the same exact numbers from the field, from three-point range and averaged nearly 27. This is that dude that was dancing on Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is the dude you're talking about here. Listen, I got no problem with Giannis being number two at this particular moment in time, even though me personally, I think LeBron should be right there. But nevertheless, considering the fact that LeBron went home in the first round due to limited health, no doubt, the bottom line is the dominance that Giannis Antetokounmpo has shown in terms of his numbers, efficiency from the field. Don't get me started with the shooting, though. I respect the hell out of Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's a reigning defending champion. Mad respect to him. I would put Steph Curry above Luka Doncic. Let me be very clear about that. I'd put Damian Lillard a little bit higher, even higher than Joel Embiid. I'll give you that. But when we talk about Kevin Durant and what this brother is able to do offensively, we know that he defends on the perimeter. We know what he can do in that regard. But offensively, it's not even close. Giannis Antetokounmpo is just not on the level that Kevin Durant is under. I don't see how anybody can dispute that, although I'm sure some people will try. The floor is yours, KP.
You know what? You see what? You know what I don't understand is this, right? The same people that do the ESPN rankings, about 75 or 80% of them have a say or have a vote in the MVP voting and Defensive Player of the Year vote.
Okay, I did it.
Okay? I'm just saying. But you're agreeing with him right now.
Yes.
And last year when you disagreed with a list, you said that all of them need to be drug tested. And I'm pretty sure I'm putting you in that category right now as well. Because here's the simple fact. And you talk about a guy, right? One of Giannis' biggest critics and myself. Some may call me a hater, and I get that, right? Because I probably was, you know, downplaying Giannis, saying the Batman, Robin, the Superman comparison. But here are the facts, okay?
Okay.
Two-time MVP, MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in the same year, that joined the company of Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon, okay? And then what was the knock on Giannis? That he didn't complete the mission. But now that he have completed the mission, and not only completed, he dominated. He dominated. Being down 0-2, coming back, winning four straight, averaging 35, 13, six assists, along with 1.5 blocks per game in the finals. And let's not talk about game six, 50, 15, and 5. And then look, this is why I want to say this. I talked to six general managers, okay? I called them to make sure I wasn't tripping. I said, if you were starting a franchise today, who would you take? Each one of them said Giannis Antetokounmpo. So what that goes to show me is that we have to deal with this brother for the next 10 years. Six of those years, he's going to dominate the league and be the most dominant player, which might put him in the category of being the best player in the league over the next 5 or 6 years. The last four of those years on the back end, he's going to have a really good 4 years. So we have 10 years of dealing with Giannis Antetokounmpo, a guy that possibly could win the MVP every single year. We don't get bored with the process.
Okay.
So right now, after Giannis won the championship along with the finals MVP, I think it's only fair to start the season off putting him number one.
Well, first of all, we ain't going about fairness. Fair is a place where they judge pigs. It doesn't exist, okay? Let's get that out the way right now. We ain't going with that. That's number one. Number two, don't talk to me like I had the brother at number five or six or something, okay? I got no problem with him at number two, all right? Why am I talking about number one? First of all, let's call it what it is. We got to give respect where it's due. It's not a fraudulent championship. We ain't trying to imply that. Please don't get me wrong. But if Kyrie Irving don't get hurt, ain't none of us believe in that Milwaukee winning that series. We believe that Milwaukee goes down. All right. I will remind you, in the previous game before Kyrie went down, or I think it was a couple of games before, they were down. Milwaukee was down by 49. Okay? What about 49? With James Harden hobbled Kyrie and KD were putting on that kind of show. Let me finish. We got a situation where basketball-wise, we're talking this, and I know I'm talking to a champion, so ain't nobody right. And by the way, I come to your defense totally because you're not a hater. You're just calling it like you see it. Don't worry about them damn fools. They're going to talk about you because you're making noise in a right way, and that's what it is, all right? But that don't make you right in this particular situation. KD offensively has no limitations. Giannis was very limited. Now, you can bring up the finals numbers. I can bring up the fact that all you were going against was DeAndre Ayton. Dario Saric wasn't a matchup, and he got hurt, and he was out. So Frank Kaminsky was backing up DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton got to worry about foul trouble, had no help on the interior. Giannis Antetokounmpo was a big boy, put for big boy rules, and just muscling them and doing what he's supposed to do. Mad respect. But his perimeter game is limited. It's not even in the same stratosphere as Kevin Durant. And I don't know what GMs you spoke to, and I'm not doubting that you spoke to six of them, but they were six different GMs than who the hell I spoke to, because I didn't speak to no damn GM that said they would take Giannis over Kevin Durant. Oh, hell no.
You know what? I'm so glad that you brought up the Jokic. I'm so glad that you brought up DeAndre Ayton and what Giannis did to him. Because when did DeAndre Ayton put the world on notice? I'm going to tell you when he put the world on notice. When they had to go against the Denver Nuggets, okay, and he held his own, and some would say with the eye test, he outplayed Jokic, okay? The MVP of the league. Now, really? When he got to Giannis, you and I sitting up in the suites in Milwaukee and in Phoenix, and we were sitting up there saying, take him out the game. Take DeAndre Ayton out the game. Giannis is abusing him. So when we talk about the league MVP that did something to DeAndre Ayton, and then we talk about when he went up against Giannis, that speaks volumes in itself.
KP, yeah, but what you're not bringing up is this fact. First of all, Jokic is big time. He's the league MVP. But in the same breath, he ain't the most mobile dude in the world. So when you DeAndre Ayton and you running up and down the court and Jokic don't have Jamal Murray to lean on and he got a bunch of cats jacking up missed shots, that compromised Denver to some degree. But that's neither here nor there. The point is, Giannis is athletic. He can move. He's mobile. He's an incredible force, no doubt. But when you compare him to Kevin Durant, who may go down as the greatest scorer in the history of basketball when all is said and done, I don't see how you can put Giannis ahead of him. Okay. I just don't see it.
We're going to be seeing plenty of Kendrick Perkins. The NBA season tips off October 19th. And Stephen A., I just want you to remember, he called six GMs. That's dedication. I heard you only called five. Step your game up. That's what I heard. All right, that's what I heard.
Six I spoke to.
Okay, later, Gator.